Good afternoon, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend general market newsletter for Sunday, June 25th. As you can see with the table of contents, this newsletter is divided into five major sections. The first part, I'm going to talk about some administration comments. First off, I'll go over the SPY Pro system, which went long last week, and I'll go over the Apple system that's been long for a while. I'm going to quickly discuss the current trade at hand. Then number two, of course, we'll move on to the general market analysis. Because it's a weekend newsletter, we like to get into the bigger picture, weekly and monthly charts. So I'll discuss that, the bigger picture, weekly, monthly charts, the 401k system, etc. Then I'll move down to the other major indexes on the daily and intraday timeframes. We'll focus on the S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, and Dow. We'll also look at the VIX and some indicators and bonds. Number three, we'll take a quick look at the FANG stocks. Those are the large cap stocks like Apple, Google, Facebook, Netflix. Always got to keep an eye on those since they're such a big percentage of the market. Number four, we'll do a market sector review. Number five, we'll look at a few world markets. There's a lot of charts here tonight, guys. I think there's 88 charts. But again, it's a weekend. The newsletter's put out early, so you should have time to review it. We'd like to discuss the bigger picture charts on the weekend. So let's go and get started. Again, the first item, the chart below, is a chart of the SPY Pro system. So as you can see, the SPY Pro system went long late last week on Thursday. It is still long. We had a very slight update on Friday, but the system is still long. This trade is on the trap trade. As you know, the system has 23 individual long subsystems. There's 12 longs and 11 shorts. So a lot of diversification anywhere. Anyway, the particular subsystem that is long is the trap one, which is one of my least favorite systems. It has actually the lowest profit factor. This particular trade type generally doesn't look to hold a trade very long. So should we get a push early this week? Let's say we got a nice pop on Monday. The system will probably go flat. Okay, it's not looking right now to hold this trade for a big trending trade. And for me, that would be okay. I think the market's at a spot where there's not a lot left to it. For the general market, I see at best maybe a new marginal new high. At worst, we could have put in a decent top here. Okay, so I don't think there's a lot left in the market. I think, you know, there's not a lot of blood left in the so-called turnip to squeeze out. So I'm not really in love with longs at this point. I'd rather keep them shorter term. So if the system decides to exit early this week for a small winning trade, that would be final to me. If it does, I'll let you all know via trade notification email. Next. Image number three below shows you the individual long subsystems for the SPY Pro system. As I stated, we now have 12 longs and 11 shorts. I'm not showing the shorts here today. Anyway, again, the particular trade that went long was the trap one, which you see all the way on the lower right-hand side. You see that? It says trap one. That's the subsystem that took a long trade. Again, all the longs here, subsystems, there's a variety of them. I've discussed these many times. So that's the particular one that took a trade. Next, chart number four below, here's a chart of the Apple system. This went long about 2 weeks ago. Market then had a quick dip down. And I mean, the Apple had a quick dip down and then bounced up a little bit. This system is still long. The trade right now is just about flat even. And I'm hoping we get a little push higher here so this system can exit as well. So let's hope we get another little push in Apple so this system, this particular trade, can exit out. If it does exit out here, again, I don't think it's going to be a big winning trade, maybe a minor winning trade at best. If Apple instead sold off, well, then it would look to take a second entry at lower prices. But that's quite a ways down there, so no reason to discuss that at this point. All right, guys, let's move on to the general market newsletter. So, item number five below, this shows you our index sector table and what transpired last week on Friday and for the week. So as you can see, Friday was generally an up day for the market, with the Dow slightly down. For the week, all the major indexes closed positive. The Dow was pretty flat, only up 0.05%. The S&P fared better, up 0.21%. However, the NASDAQ and Russell really shined last week. The NASDAQ up 1.84%, the Index 100 up 2.14%. Those sectors have been leading to the downside, so they're having the largest bounce, which makes sense. They're still well off their highs. The question remains, are the NASDAQ and the Index going to make lower highs? That's my big question. The Russell 2000 up 0.6% for the week. Out of the major market sectors, again, mostly an up day on Friday, except for a handful of sectors. But for the week, you see some nice down sectors here. So despite the fact that all the major indexes were up, actually, slightly more of the sectors were down. The worst sector for the week by far was energy. Oil services, oil stocks down 4.7%. XLE Energy down 2.9%. Again, energy's been really taken on the chin, and you can see that there. Banks down 2.35%. Financials down 1.65%. Telecom down 3%. Utilities down 1.6%. The star last week was biotech. Anything in the biotech, healthcare, etc. Biotech up 8.8%. Healthcare up 3.6%. Drugs up 3.3%, etc. Metals and mining bounced back a little bit, up 3.8%. GDX, gold stocks, up 3%. Semiconductors bounced back. They were down last week, up about 2%. U.S. dollar for the week was up 0.1%. Most commodities were down last week. Again, crude oil down 4.4%. I'll be discussing the commodities in the commodity newsletter. If we move to the very bottom, TLT 20-year bonds up 1.13%. Next, item number six below shows the economic news calendar. Got a little more news on the docket this week, as you can see. Keep an eye on that. Then the following week, of course, we'll be going into the 4th of July holiday weekend. All right, guys, let's move to the general market newsletter. So first couple images here, I'm going to discuss our 401k paint dry system. Again, the weekend, we tend to go over the bigger picture charts, so might as well discuss this. Obviously, no changes here. The system remains long from 2015. Here, I took a nice clean image. I took some clean images of the system this weekend, so I'm just using that opportunity to show you these. I think they're nice and nice-looking images. So if you look at the bottom, you have the BPT MA Deluxe Indicator. This is a monthly chart. So each candlestick is 1 month. So you can see I labeled the indicator each place where it turned. So you can see the indicator would have went to cash in late November 2014. Then it went back green on 8/31/2015 after that initial correction. It's been green since that time. It's been green since 2009, so caught the bull market. It kept you out of the 2008 bear market really nicely, kept you in the bull market from 2002 into, again, January 2008, kept you out of the tech bubble crash, kept you along during the 1990s. So just a very nice, simple visual guide. Again, it's going to be a long time before this reverses to a sell signal, guys. So while we may consider that the bull market is getting a little long in the tooth from a time frame perspective, it's going to be a long time before this indicator flips to a sell signal. Next, chart number eight. Here's a visual indicator from the 1970s and 1980s. You can see it did a really good job during the 1970s, getting you in and out. Again, on the indicator, I show you the exit dates and prices, so you can take a look at those yourself. The indicator also would have got you out 1 month before the 1987 crash. See that? Exit 9/30/1987 at S&P 322, back long on 2 months later on November 30th at S&P 230. So it got you out at the top, got you back in after the big correction. So overall, I'm pretty happy with this indicator, but again, it's like watching paint dry. The signals, you know, sometimes don't come for years. So anyway, that's a part of the website, and it comes free with membership. All right, let's move on to the indexes. Chart 9, here's a weekly view of the major indexes with simple Bollinger Bands. A couple key notable things here are the Dow and S&P. You have small, tight, doji candlesticks here. That's something to keep an eye on. We are stretched in the short term. Going below last week's lows would be a warning sign that could trigger at least some kind of pullback coming with the tight dojis. Next, chart 10, here's a monthly view of the major indexes with Bollinger Bands. So the Dow and S&P, you can see what they look like for now. The NASDAQ, and especially the NDX 100, has a really good doji candlestick here. These are something to keep an eye on. Again, it's not the end of the month yet, but this week will be the last week of June. So you want to come back and take a look at this chart next weekend to see how these candlesticks look. It's possible the Dow and S&P could have better dojis, the NASDAQ, etc. These could set up reversion to mean pullbacks for the following month. Again, things are quite stretched here, no doubt about it. But you need a trigger. And the dojis here are something to keep an eye on. Next, chart 11, here's a daily view of the major indexes with Bollinger Bands. Again, last week, the Dow especially had a nice little pullback. Again, everything's still uptrending, basically. The S&P and Dow are above their middle Bollinger Bands. Now, the Bollinger Bands are starting to pinch a little bit on the S&P. That's something to keep an eye on. The NASDAQ and NDX 100, they had a larger correction a couple weeks ago. That is still something to keep an eye on. Can they go back to highs or can they form a lower high? That's the big question. The Russell had a nice bounce back late last week. We'll see. You know, is that a flag pattern? Could it make another high? We'll see. All right, let's move on to the S&P 500 first. We'll focus on this on all the time frames. So chart 12 below, here's a monthly view of the S&P 500. Again, so far for the month, it's up 1.1%. Remember, there's still 1 month to go. You can see price has worked its way to the upper channel line. We drew this channel line a year ago, at least. So it's been a pretty good guide. We've come to the upper portion of it. Notice we still have MACD divergence here. Okay. So overall, this could still be a larger fifth wave rally. We still have MACD divergence. Again, no sell signals. You need a trigger. Divergence is a sell signal on its own, but it is building. We're near longer term resistance now. Take a look at the very top. The 5 RSI is at 91.2%. You can see that's an area where you've at least had some kind of pullbacks in the past. Now, one thing I want to point out, when the RSI gets that high, that usually is not an end to a bull market. You'll usually get a pullback, but then you'll make another high after that. So, for example, you could see in 2007, early 2007, the 5 RSI peaked there up in the low 90s. You had a pullback, then price rallied and made another new high. See that? But RSI made lower highs. So we could see something like that. If we saw something like that, then the end of this bull market, you know, could still be, you know, I don't know, 6, 8 months, a year away. As, you know, you'd pull back from a lower high. I mean, pull back, price would form another high while the indicators formed lower highs. So I do believe a topping process could occur, but I think it's going to be a while. Next, chart 13, here's another monthly view, just a zoomed in view. Again, take a look at 2007. You could see the 5 RSI got in the low 90s. Price then pulled back for a couple months. Then you made another high. On the subsequent highs, the 5 RSI made lower highs. So that wasn't the end of the bull market when the RSI topped out. It took another, you know, another nine months for that to occur. So we could see something like that occur, guys. If that occurred, well, this bull market would top out, say, early next year, just from a time perspective. So we'll see if something like that plays out. All right, moving on. Chart 14, here's a weekly view of the S&P. again, we have a small doji black candlestick here. That is something to keep an eye on. Last week's lows would be a trigger possibly for a pullback. We do have a little wedge-like look to this pattern. I don't have it drawn in. The moving averages are obviously bullishly configured. Notice that they're all expanded, but that doesn't mean we can't have a pullback sometime soon, just like we saw, you could see back there in 2014. The one thing that concerns me in the short term is the MACD divergence. See this, guys? You have MACD divergence. That tells us we could be due for a pullback here in the very short term, sometime this summer. And this bothers me in the short term. Again, long term, market looks like it'll go higher. It looks like, you know, we should be buying the next major pullback. But in the short term, this divergence bothers me. And it is a reason to be cautious. That's why I stated on longs, I would be playing the more shorter term now. Because at best, I think the market could make maybe another minor high on the daily charts. But I think this weekly divergence will play out sometime soon. Keep an eye on it. Next. Chart 15, there's another weekly view. This shows you one possible wave count. Again, Steve and I don't get into wave counts much. We used to really get into that years ago. As you notice, we rarely show them anymore. This shows you a possible, you know, bull market count from the 2009 lows. Under this count, we're in some kind of wave 5, obviously. And but right now, we're in some kind of minor wave 5. So once this ends, we could have a decent correction, okay? And again, based on the monthly, on the weekly divergence I showed above, you could see that would be a reason why. Next. Chart 16, here's a daily view of the S&P. This ascending triangle I drew back in May. I put these price projections based on the height of the pattern. Two measurements I made, one from the conservative height of the pattern in mid-May was about 53 points. The larger one was the 70-point pullback there in April. You add those to the 2400 breakout level, horizontal level of the pattern, you get your price targets. We hit our initial pattern around the 2450 area, 2453, so we basically hit it perfect. So it's possible we got a little top in there, or if this pattern wanted to hit the height of the measurement, you know, it could go on to the 2470-ish area, should we make another high. Again, price is obviously still uptrending. We're still over the 20-day moving average. There's really not a lot to say there, guys. But with the weekly divergence, we want to be a little more cautious now. But clearly, obviously, everything is still uptrending nicely with the moving averages. Okay? The key support, I will tell you right now, guys, is obviously 2400. Breaking 2400 would not be good. That would set up a bigger correction. But in the short term, even breaking the 2419 area, I think may finally be the nail in the coffin too. And I'll discuss that when I get below. Next, chart 17, here's the daily pivots charts. No change here. Been bouncing around these pivots lately. So let's move on. Chart 18, here's another daily view, just a zoomed in view so you can look at the candles. This lower trend line here, that's a big support area too, okay? If price were to sell off this week and lose that, again, I think that may start a larger pullback. Your first obvious big support would be the 50-day moving average and 2400 area. But again, breaking this trend line support would be a warning for the bulls. For now, again, you could argue this still has a flag look to it and could make another high. Next. Chart 19, here's another daily view of the S&P 500. This, of course, contains our custom indicators like the ATR trailing stop. Price remains over that. It's now moved up to 2410.9. That's support. Okay. And below the BPTMA Deluxe, which is an exotic moving average that I developed personally years ago, has been green basically since November. So it's honestly done a damn good job, I think, this year of avoiding most of the noise and keeping with the trend. You won't find any indicators out there like this, guys. This is totally custom. Next. Chart 20, here's a two-hour view. So back there in May, we had a nice pullback. That ended up being a really good buying opportunity. You had three things line up there with the doji candlestick, the 61 fib, and a gap fill. But right now in the short term, sort of an uptrend channel. We had a divergent high early last week, which played out for a quick pullback. Now remains to be seen, can we push up here again or not? That's the big question. Again, breaking that lower trend line channel would be a warning. Breaking below that, say, 2419, 2415 level below, to me, could be the nail in the coffin. So this is a big support chart to monitor this lower, these trend lines. Next. Chart 21, here's another two-hour review. Not really sure why I got two charts here. They're both showing the same thing. So let's move on. Chart 22, this image I took from, borrowed from OEW, Objective Elliott Wave. Here's a link to his website, Tony Caldero. He does a good job with Elliott Wave. Honestly, if Steve and I look at any Elliott Wave, we tend to look at him. He's actually been bullish for the majority of the whole bull market, unlike a lot of the Elliott Wave guys that are bearish all the time, like Prechter. And you know, that's, if I look at the Elliott Wave, I'll tend to look at his stuff. Anyway, here's some of his potential counts if you're interested. If you're not interested or you don't know anything about Elliott Wave, then ignore this. Just focus on general tech analysis, all right? Anyway, even Tony admits that who's super bullish, he's been bullish for years now. Even he admits the weekly divergence is a big warning sign. And he puts a couple wave counts here where the one below could have a little wave 5 in top at the 2453 area early last week. And we're going to start downtrend correcting here. Or we could have another minor high as a wave 5 for the top chart. And then after that, we have a correction. Even he says once this top is in here, we could have a decent correction, a larger correction than we've seen, you know, for quite a while. So that's why I stated the market's uptrending, long's the way to be, but keep a tighter stop on longs at this point. Next, chart 23, here's a 60-minute view. You can see that lower trend line support. Right now in the short term, you can see a little pattern here to monitor, little triangle. Breaking over 2441.60 should send this up higher. And finally, chart 24, here's a 15-minute view with the pivots. Primary pivot for Monday is 2437. Here you can see that little triangle pattern I just showed you above. So keep an eye on that. Okay, so that's up for the S&P. Again, guys, key support in the S&P is around that 2415 area, 2420. Breaking those would be a big warning sign. All right. Again, the question is, can we rally up and make one more high? Which I wouldn't mind as the SPY system is still long. But again, I would be keeping longs as more shorter term trades at this point because the weekly divergences do, I think, will rear that ugly head for a bigger correction this summer. Next, let's look at a couple of the other major indexes real quick. Chart number 25. Here's the Dow quarterly chart. The Dow closed positive on the first quarter of this year. This bodes well for the year. So far, we have a nice second quarter gain. Again, this doesn't mean every quarter is going to be a gain. Okay, if we have a nice correction in the summer, you know, that's, we could have at least a nice down quarter. But for the year, the Dow will probably close positive. Next, chart number 26. Here's the weekly view. Again, we have a clear MACD divergence and divergence on the RSI indicators and a doji candlestick. So these here have me concerned, these divergences. And this doji in the short term is something to monitor. It's quite extended above its 9 EMA. Going below last week's doji lows at 21.333 could be a trigger on a short side. Next, chart 27, here's the daily Dow. Obviously, again, still has support of the movement averages below. Next, chart 28, here's a weekly view of the NASDAQ. This had a nice pop last week, up 1.85%. Bounced off its 9-week EMA. You know, it's still in this very strong uptrend. Can it go back and make another high in the short term? We'll see. Next, chart 29, here's the daily view. Again, it did break symmetry in that pullback in early June. So it did technically make a lower high where you see my arrow, but you know, is it going to go back and make another high here or not? That's the question. The MACD is still lagging here quite a bit. Next, Charber 30, here's the triple Qs, NASDAQ 100 basically. Again, we did break symmetry on that pullback in early June. So technically we did form a lower high there, pulled back again, formed a little double bottom. Now we're rallying up here. But again, look at the volume, guys. The volume is lagging. See the volume below? So back volume is lagging. The MACD is lagging. So I still think this is going to have a hard time making a higher, another high in the short term. This could be setting up to a big bear flag. If you're looking for a hedge, you want to hedge some of your short, your longs, you could look for a short in this sector. Next, Charber 31, here's a 60-minute view with the fibs. You can see a little wedge here, potential. Next, Charber 32, here's a 15-minute view with the Qs, showing some symmetry action via the dotted lines. The pullbacks have basically met symmetry and bounced. Having a larger pullback, breaking the symmetry, would be something to take notice of. Next, Charber 33, here's a monthly view. Again, you have a nice tight doji candlestick here. It's not the end of the month yet, but this is something to watch at the end of the month. Next, Charber 33, here's the triple inverse Qs ETF, SQQQ. This still has a bull flag look to it. See this? So if you're looking for a hedge or you're looking for an initial short on the market, this is an ETF to monitor. Remember, it's a triple leveraged. So keep an eye on that or be aware of that just for margin purposes. You want to trigger here. You don't want to just buy it, but it is something to monitor and I'm monitoring it. So for now, it has a technical bull flag look to it. Next, Charber 35, here's a 60-minute view. You could draw a textbook bullish falling wedge here. So again, I'm keeping an eye on this in the short term. Next, Charber 36, here's the Russell 2000 weekly chart, up about 0.6% for the week. Still uptrending in this uptrend channel. I mean, this up expanding triangle pattern, still testing the upper trend line. Next, Charber 37, here's the daily view. Bounced off the 20-day moving average last week. Still looks fine. Overall, kind of trading sideways most of the year, just with a very slight uptrend, as you can see. Next, Charber 38, here's the tradable ETF, IWM. Next, let's move on to some indicators. Charber 39, here's the VIX. You can see it rallied off support early in June, pulling back a little bit. Again, continue to monitor this as it gets lower. It is approaching the lower Bollinger Bands. Next, Charber 40, here's the monthly view of the VIX. So the VIX, again, this is something to keep an eye on longer term. Obviously, it's nearing this long-term support level. It tagged it. You could see how the VIX actually bottomed in early 2007, but the market, S&P, didn't top until late 2007, and the VIX started to move higher. I'm wondering if we could see something like that again. See that? Just pause the audio a minute if you need to and just study this. Interesting. Next, Charber 41, here's the NIMO, McClellan Oscillator. This closed below its lower Bollinger Band 2 days in a row last week. That set up at least a statistical opportunity for a bounce in the market. We haven't got much of one yet, so I'm hoping we get a little follow through this week, again, since the SPY system's long. Next, Charber 42, here's the McClellan Oscillator for the S&P. Same deal, it closed below the lower Bollinger Band 2 days in a row. That set up a statistical bounce point, which we did technically get on Friday. Sometimes all you get is one-day bounce. I'm still hoping we get a little more follow-through, so going to keep an eye on this. Next, Charber 43, here's the equity put-call ratio, CPCE. This got quite oversold last week. So we did have a bounce on Friday. Moving on, quick look at bonds. Charber 44, TLT 20-year bonds, up 1.4% for the week. So despite the fact that the Fed does state they're going to raise interest rates, long-term rates continue to fall. Remember, rates move opposite of bonds. This has retraced about 50% of the sell-off from last year's highs so far. Next, chart 45, here's a daily view. Still uptrend channel, something to keep an eye on. Next, chart 46, here's HYG, weekly view. This weekly rising wedge pattern with MACD divergence is definitely something to keep an eye on. I do believe this will play out sometime this summer for a bigger correction and probably a correction in the general market. So a lot of things are lining up, guys. All right, moving on. Take a quick look at the FANG stocks since they make up a big percentage of the market. Chart 47, Netflix, Google. We had this as a rising wedge pattern, short idea in early June. You had a textbook five waves there. See that? Five waves with MACD divergence. That is what true wedge patterns have. They have MACD divergence. If you don't have MACD divergence, it's generally not a wedge on that time frame. And if you can only count, say, three waves, it's not a wedge either. So everything lined up. It led for a nice sell-off, a nice short in June. So far, you can see the stock has bounced back. But again, I still have my doubts it's going to make another high here just because of how it looks. Still lagging a bit. Next, chart 48, Netflix. We also have this as a rising wedge short idea in early June. It played out beautifully. You know, hope you took your profits as it bounced off support. Still got a long way to go to make it back to the highs though, doesn't it? It's lagging a lot. Next, chart 49, Apple. Same deal. We had this as a trade idea in early June. It broke down for a nice short. Just chopping around here. I still don't like the way the volume patterns look here. That's why I think this could form a lower high. The 50-day moving average above is now resistance, as well as the declining 20-day moving average. Next, chart 50, Facebook. Now, Facebook is on the verge of making another high, so it is what it is. Next, chart 51, Amazon. After its flash crash, this did make a minor new high, but overall it still looks tired. Look at the MACD. So again, guys, keep an eye on the FANG stocks since they're such a big percentage of the market. All right, let's move to market sectors. Chart 52, biotech. This was by far the star last week, up 12.2%. I had this drawn 2 weeks ago as an ascending triangle pattern, and boy, it played out beautifully. Look at that volume move. Next, chart 53. Here's the daily view. Shot right out of resistance. So again, this is a tradable ETF. You could have easily played this. Congrats to those of you who did. Next, chart 54. Here's healthcare, obviously related to biotech, so this sector's moved up in concert. Next, chart 55, banks. This sector broke out of that little triangle pattern a few weeks ago, but now it's pulled back quite a bit. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Next, chart 56, financials, same look. Next, chart 57, here's the 60-minute view of the financials. No real divergence here. There is a little bit, though, so we'll see if this can bounce in the short term. Next, chart 658, IYR Real Estate. Still uptrending for now. Next, chart 59, GDX, gold stocks. Again, up 3%. So they fared well last week. Overall, still in this weekly triangle pattern. I'll discuss that more in the commodity newsletter. Next, chart 60, metals and mining, also had a decent week. Overall, no change in the pattern, still in a downtrend basically. Next, chart 61, transports, nice rally the last couple days. This could easily go back to make another high perhaps. Next, chart 62, semiconductors. Again, looks very similar to the NASDAQ and index 100. This could struggle to make another high. Next, chart 63, XLK technology, subcomponent of, semiconductors are a subcomponent of this. So similar look basically. A lot of the FANG stocks look like this, don't they? Next, Charter 64 retail continues lower, down another 1.1%. This is bearishly configured on the weekly chart. Basically, Amazon is eating everyone's lunch. I wonder if there's going to be some antitrust or whatever. You know, it's Amazon's becoming a monopoly, basically. And that's going to continue to happen. Next, Charter 65. Here's the daily view of the retail chart. Now, the daily chart does have a potential little wedge here, but we'll see if that can play out or not. It's still below its 90 MA. Next, Charter 66, energy, XLE down 0.7% for the week. It's been downtrending since December. You know, been in a downtrend now here for 8 months. Next, Charter 67, here's the bigger picture daily view. Again, the symmetry to monitor longer term is that $3.60 bounce. Next, Charter 68, here's the weekly view. Again, down about 3% for the week. Again, this sector, hope you took profits last year. It's had a nice correction from December. Next, Charter 69, oil services, OAH. So far in the daily has a little tight wedge potential, but again, it's still below its 90 MA. Nice correction from the December highs, obviously. If you're looking for some energy stocks, obviously some of these are now much more attractive prices, but you need a trigger. All right, guys, I looked at individual energy stocks. I picked a few of them out, so let's take a look at those. Charter 70, APC, potential falling wedge here with divergence. Next, Charter 71, here's the 60-minute view. You can see that wedge. Next, Charter 72, COP, ConocoPhillips, 60-minute chart, potential wedge. Next, Charter 73, DO, Diamond Offshore, potential wedge with some MACD divergence. Next, Charter 74, DVN, MACD divergence, tight falling wedge. Next, Charter 75, NE, Noble Drilling, kind of a wedge pattern, lower priced one. Next, Charter 76, VLO, another one to monitor. So there's a handful of energy stocks. Since that sector is so oversold, you know, if you're looking for some bounce plays, here you go. All right, moving on to other sectors. Charter 77, XLY Consumer Discretionary, still in a long-term uptrend here, but clearly something to monitor here. Notice symmetry, guys. We got a channel here. Symmetry pullback, is the largest pullback is $3 back during early 2017. So should this pullback exceed $3, that would be a break in symmetry. That would tell you to short the next rally. Next, Charter 78. XLI Industrials still holding up here, okay. Next, Charter 79, Utilities. Chopping around here lately, but it's below the 20-day moving average, so something to notice. All right, finally, guys, nearing the end of the newsletter, let's look at a few world markets. Charter 80, German DAX, still uptrending, but there is MACD divergence here. The uptrend line, matches the 50-day moving average. Breaking that could set this finally on a pullback. Next, Charter 81. Here's the monthly view. Obviously, long-term bull market, but monthly doji candlestick. Next, Charter 82. Japan Nikkei. This still looks okay for now. Kind of a bull flag look to it. Next, Charter 83, London FTSE Exchange, really just chopping around here sideways lately, but holding the 50-day moving average. Next, Charter 84, Mexico. Again, I like to point this one out because I said it looked like a low-risk long back there in January when it made a divergent MACD low, and boy, it was. This thing has rallied a good 20% since that time. Finally, Charter 85, Brazil, this has been downtrending lately. And, oh, actually, the final chart, Charber 86, Toronto, Canada Exchange. It's been in a correction since February. It's around the 200-day moving average. All right, guys, that does it. I know the newsletter was a little longer than normal, but again, I do that for your benefit. I go over the bigger picture for some of you guys who have longer-term accounts, and I also give you my thoughts on the shorter term. So I hope that helps. Talk to you later. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you.